This past Lent, a pastor in a particular Catholic church employed a rather creative approach to get a message across. He and the parish staff had put together an ambitious program for the season. They would start it off with the three-evening mission program, and he would bring in a national-known speaker. There was a weekly adult education program in which they would discuss the readings for that Sunday. He would have Crossings of the Stage on Friday, and in Tuesday, Lenten lunch, so that he would bring in local speakers. But hardly no one attended. About halfway through Lent, there began to appear a series of pictures in the bulletin with captions. For example, there was a picture of a child, and below the child was the words, "Too young." There was a picture of a young couple holding hands with the caption, "Too much in love." Beneath a four-part photo of a man and woman at work and at home were the captions, "Too busy with work and family." There was also an image of an elderly person with the words, "Too old and feeble." And finally, there was a picture of a cemetery with row after row of tombstones with the caption, "Too late." The pastor had grown frustrated with hearing people's excuses for not taking advantage of these opportunities for growing in faith. Now, he was aware of the many demands of life, but nevertheless, he wanted to challenge his parishioners to examine their priorities and make a stronger commitment. Each one of us has only so much time, energy, and money. How do we fill these spaces? As we fill these spaces, we have to determine what priority is going to be number one in our lives. Today's readings gives us the answer. In the first reading, we are introduced to a woman of influence. Now, her influence did not come from social status or possessions, but from her faith. And in previous verses, we had learned that she had declined the gifts of this world that offered her, especially the security that comes from military strength or with wealth. She is searching for someone else, someone close to God, and she recognizes that in Elisha. So she and her husband prepares a room that when he comes to town, he can stay there for as long as he wants. In other verses we learn, Elisha didn't even speak her language. He had to have an interpreter to communicate with the lady. And then at the end of the readings, we hear that she will hold a son in a year. We also know later that son will die, and then she will bring him back to the prophet. The gifts of prophets and the gifts of God Himself are not always without sufferings. To determine the number one priority in our lives, we learn from this reading that our love for others will not be limited by race, nationality, creed, language, or status. In the second reading, we find a strong theology for ourselves. If we have died in Christ, then we must embrace that death so that we can live in Christ. We must become dead to sin. This is so easy to say or to state, yet the reality implies for us and for all who seek the Lord that we must enter into a spiritual combat and remain in that combat all the days of our life. The life of Jesus is a wonderful gift, and yet always comes with the condition of death to sin and ourselves. We are invited to embrace this struggle against sin each day so that we can live more and more in the Lord. In the gospel, these two readings are brought together. First, Jesus declares that the cost of discipleship is great, but the ultimate rewards are even greater. He says that we must love God more than anything or anyone. We must love God more than our parents, our spouse, our sisters, our brothers, our children, more than anyone. Now, this statement never implied that we're not to love all these people, but simply to tell us that Jesus is more important. Jesus is trying to get us to realize the absolute importance of choosing eternal life. He is telling us that this is the most important choice we will make in our lives, and that to put anything else before is just foolishness. Now, you need to understand, when Jesus said these words to his apostles, he was preparing them for the day when they will have to make that choice. He knows all of them except one will die a martyr's death. He knows that as the various persecutions launched against Christians by the various Roman emperors, his disciples are going to have to make some very tough decisions. And he realized that he has to prepare them now so that they will be ready for that day when they will have to face having to choose between their loved ones and the kingdom of God. And as we all know, all chose the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus presents to us is not always going to be an actual choice. We're not being called on this very moment to choose between our family and the kingdom. But we need to clearly understand that in certain extreme circumstances, it might come to that. Are you ready? But even though we're not facing that right now, how many times do we make decisions that we put Jesus in second place or way down the list? How many times are we flirting with choosing eternal life without Jesus? You wake up Sunday morning, you don't feel very good. So you make the decision you're going to stay home and miss Mass. The next morning, Monday morning, you wake up feeling the same way. But you drag yourself out of bed to go to work or to go to school. Are we making the choice that going to work and going to school is more important than going to be with Jesus at Mass? Sunday morning, it's a beautiful day. So you and the family decide to take the day off and go on a picnic or go to the beach. You know, does it really hurt to miss Mass now and then? Are we saying that spending Sunday with our family is more important than spending a few hours with Jesus at Mass? Work to do today, and I got to get some reports ready for tomorrow. So I'm going to stay home and work on those reports, but you go ahead and go to Mass. Are you saying that your job in these reports are more important than Jesus? You arrive back home late Sunday evening. You're tired. You just have time to make it to the last Mass. But do you stay home because you're tired, or do you go to Mass? Look at this cross. Do you think Jesus got tired of hanging up there? Do you think Jesus might have said, I've had enough, I'm tired, I'm coming down? No. He said, I'm going to stay up here. I'm going to do the job. I'm doing this for your redemption, for my redemption, for your forgiveness of your sins, for forgiveness of my sins. If you really want to spend eternity with God, don't you think you'd be better off going to Mass even though you're tired? Come to Mass. But for one reason or another, you leave early. Things you want to get done is more important than spending those few extra minutes with Jesus. But yes, when the boss calls a meeting at work, do you have the gumption to get up and walk out of that meeting early? Are you willing to tell your boss what you have to say is not that important? I have other things to do. No, you stay there. But yet you got the audacity to say, God, I'm leaving early. I have more important things to do than to spend a few minutes with you. Is life with Jesus forever worth spending a few more minutes with Him? I've got some news for you. Your boss cannot give you eternal life, but Jesus can. So wouldn't it be better to spend a few more minutes with Him? He's saying, I want you to give your devotion and your time to me just as you give it to your boss. I want to be number one. I have other areas which our faith is under attack. They're a little bit more disguised, sometimes hard to see. You know, our society likes to give us the impression that our beliefs are simply quaint and amusing. How often do we encounter these in the world around us? How often do we hear, no one cares about faith anymore, and it's just superfluous in the modern world? Politicians who stand up for their faith are ridiculed. And yet we have Catholic politicians who talk about their faith but will not practice their faith in Congress, and will not practice their faith when it comes to passing certain laws. Almost every time we turn around, we have policies that are aiming at to detach the mass of the people from their Christian roots. We hear all religions are the same and are treated as a sort of refuge from those whose thinking is backward and unmodern. There's a constant erosion in many important areas of our life. Look around. How many times do we see our faith-based morality being constantly rolled back? Abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, couples living together and not being married. Oh, the world gives them all kind of fancy names and try to cover them up to make them see that they're not quite that bad. But they all are against God's law. They are called sins. S-I-N-S, sins. It's very important that we understand and not be under any illusion that our belief is constantly being attacked, and that the powers of evil are hard at work in trying to undermine our faith whenever and wherever it is found. Don't come running to me with your excuse and say, "Oh, deacon, you don't understand." No, take your excuses and go to Jesus and try to tell him that he doesn't understand. And be ready when he brings this gospel up and he says, "I told you, I don't want part-time disciples who see their faith as things among important items on a to-do list." Jesus wants to be number one. He wants to be above all others in our life. And he wants us to make that decision before it is too late. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.